And especially these words, let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is the writer speaking about here? Maybe take, first of all, a picture of spring cleaning or the summer holiday clear out, getting ready for new ventures. Maybe the time, when you come to the dusting, maybe once a week or however often you might do it, or how infrequently you might do it. You go dusting the house, not because you have at some point been out to the builder's merchants and gained a truckload of sand and you have dumped it in your sitting room. That's something positive, it's something that seems quite contrary to expectation. It's not that kind of dirt that you're getting rid of, it's the slow, steady, invisible accumulation of the tiniest flecks of something that is dirt. You don't have to make any effort to accumulate dust in the house. Each grain is so small in itself, it would seem unimportant. But there are so many of them, and the place becomes dirty. That's how it is with so many of the sins in our lives. The call here is to take stock and to deal with them, especially with a view to what lies ahead. What has been, where such sin is present, it has its effects, where it lingers and has not been dealt with in your life, that seek forgiveness. And there is a promise of that forgiveness. But seek as well to prevent any further incursions. That's what Hebrews 12, verse 1 is saying. Lay these things aside. They will keep coming. Lay it aside. It so easily ensnares. Doesn't take any effort. Lay them aside. They ensnare, they entrap, they entangle. The picture is often used of, as the last part of that verse talks about, running with endurance, the race set before us. If you were to take Mo Farah and you were to laden him down with my weight or somebody else's weight, he would not have done what he did in this past week or last year. But it's not only weight, it's also the things that entangle. If his shoelaces had come undone, he would have tripped. He would have been entangled very easily, would have taken nothing at all. But he would have to learn to recognize the signs. If his running spikes were loosening, he would know that the lace was coming loose. We need to learn to recognize these sins that do so easily ensnare us. Or we need to recognize the things that lead to those sins that easily ensnare us. It's not always easy. That's why this word is here. Or we would have done it. It's even less easy when it's not a habit of thought. We need to remember such a call as this. But just because they are tiny little things, perhaps, or those things that are just come on us so easily, they are as significant, perhaps even more significant, more damaging than the noticeable things. Those sins that people say, I've never done that, because you take precautions against them. These are the ones that do penetrate. They're insidious. They enter, and they are equally damaging. We had the privilege of a few days not far from the Kulin Hills in Skye a few weeks ago. And on an open hillside at the foot, and a long way from the mountains themselves, you see great boulders lying scattered all over the place. And you think, how did they get there? But then you see the cracks and the fissures in the rock face. And you know that that's a cold place. If you have, you've found a lovely rock and you want it as a centerpiece in your garden, and you see somebody coming along with a massive sledgehammer, you're going to stand in front of that rock and you're going to say, so far and no further, don't you touch that. And you can keep him away, this great hammer that's going to break it in pieces. But perhaps there's a little crack, a fault in it. And the rain comes and it drips and the water sets in there. And then the winter comes and it forms into ice and ice expands. That's how rocks break apart. Bit by bit, little bit by little bit, that drip penetrates and the rock one day is broken in pieces. They are the very things that damage our lives with great danger because we don't recognize them for what they are. But they are sins. Not things that God teaches, not things that God desires for you. That briefly is what we're talking about. It is sin. But there are sins of a certain character that can have a massive impact upon our lives and the lives of others because we have not recognized them for what they are. They take a hold of us all too easily. Why, then? That's the what. What about why, this call? This call, because they ensnare us. That's what they're doing. And ensnare is very definitely a negative connotation. I think whatever a trap is, the person who suffers from that trap, it's negative, isn't it? The ease with which we do get trapped, snared. I might have told this story before, but there was a day when I went with a friend to his father's small holding, and they were troubled by vermin. And so around the wire fencing, we would go out in the evening and we would set snares. You're allowed to do it in those days. And there were holes under the fence that had been worn by the animals. There was something on the other side of the fence, our side of the fence, that was attractive to them. And they would go after it and get themselves caught. These trap us because they usually do look attractive. But when we give them serious thought, if that animal was awake to the signals and stopped and thought, it may well have formed another passage through. What about us? When we give serious thought to the way that we are pursuing our lives, do we recognize that these things are not really so attractive at all? They're not worthwhile. I think that's what the Psalms that we've been using have been talking about. The Psalms are saying those ways are not truly attractive. Another one that we're coming to, Psalm 73. After a long course and a wrestling and a very difficult passage in spiritual experience, he comes to the place to say, but no, it's not really so good after all, that way of wickedness and the way that looks attractive at first glance. In the context, this comes as the first word of chapter 12, verse 1, tells us, therefore, it's because of what he's been telling, the examples he's been gathering together in chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. These are sins that are against faith. It tells us, for example, in chapter 11, verse 15, of Abraham and those of his family, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. There was nothing stopping them turning around and going back to the place where they were. It would have been quite easy. Moses, in verses 24 through 26 and following, tells us of the choices he could have made. He would have had a magnificent, a trouble-free life. Everybody would have been attending to his smallest wish and whim in the palaces of Egypt. Perhaps it's a reminder that, and as you go on, and then the chapter comes to the place, verse 32, what more shall I say that time would fail me to tell of these different people and many others who are not named there, and look at the things that they went through. They are not an easy passage in life. And perhaps it's those things, it's those sins which so easily ensnare us if there is an easy way in front of you. Those of you who have been at the Bible study on Pilgrim's Progress might remember the number of times Christian met with somebody who said, "No, this way is easier." And he said, "But it's not the way I've been given on the way to the celestial city." Jesus said, "The way is broad, the way is easy, that leads to destruction." If there is a way that's easier, at least take that bit longer to think it through. If there's a way that makes it easy for you in the society in which we live, take that bit longer to think it through and ask yourself, is this the way the Lord sets before me? Make doubly sure that it is not the way that is against him, or you are being ensnared. Take that easy road. Ask the Lord for his leading. It doesn't take that great effort to go and order a truckload of builder's sand to make your house dirty, but it does take effort, doesn't it, to clean it and to keep it clean. Don't just go down the easy road. We may well be ensnared. The witness of these many in Hebrews chapter 11 is that the easy things are too often riddled with sinfulness and a worldly spirit. And Jesus, most definitely, that's why he includes Jesus, the supreme example. He tells us he endured the cross. And endurance, taking up your cross daily and following him, will not be an easy way. Why do we hear this? It's because we will otherwise be ensnared, we'll be trapped. It's a way of death and destruction. It's an easy way, though. Just taking a few moments this evening to look at these words. The last thing I would want to speak about is how do we deal with this? Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, as well as the weight, but it's this easily ensnaring sin that I'm especially interested in this evening. Lay it aside. How? Well, first we need to recognize them for what they are. You can't get rid of dirt if you don't recognize that it is dirt. The youngsters will come in, and we all did it when we were young. We came in after a day playing and thoroughly enjoying ourselves, covered with dirt, and we don't see what the problem is. Tramping through the house and leaving dirty footmarks. What's the problem? Learn to recognize the sin and the dirt for what it is. To avoid these things, it does perhaps involve looking back on where we've come and the things that we've dragged with us. But this is to avoid the same things in the future. Recognize them for what they are. Confess them for what they are. Everyone's, and I think without exception, everyone's first inclination is to excuse themselves. And to excuse this thing. Oh no, it's not so bad after all. And then what happens is that you feel the only way to go is to carry on that way, to go on excusing. It hurts our pride to do otherwise. But a confession is so important for those things where we have been ensnared. Acknowledging that God's judgment on the matter is true. And then they will need significant steps to avoid them. If you want a dust-free environment, you're really going to have to pay big money, aren't you? If you want to avoid these most easily ensnaring sins, there may be those things, and maybe it is figurative language, where Jesus said, if it's your hand that offends you, causes you to sin, cut it off. There's something bigger and better without it. If it's your eye, take it out. Mark chapter 9, amongst others. Then we need to get it clear. Establish it in your mind and your heart. Make this the habit of thought, the framework of all your thinking. Does it fit in here? To say, I will not tolerate this anymore in my life. That's what Psalm 101 was talking about. I suppose in a way, that's in different ways, that's what some of the other passages we've been reading have been talking about as well. This isn't acceptable to God. If I want the blessings that come with a relationship with God, I cannot tolerate it either. Which side do you stand on? Because there are sides in this question. Get it clear and establish it. Make it established, make it firmly set, or anything can shake you. You will easily be ensnared otherwise. And they may be specific things, acts, things that are you might have done that you can easily recognize as such. It may be as much an attitude. And attitude can be very sinful and very ensnaring, and will lead then to inappropriate action. How else may we avoid that, the sin that so easily ensnares us? The other point that we have here, as well as that running with endurance, I don't have time to go into that this evening, but especially looking to Jesus. Look at what he's done so that we may have the hope that we might testify. Look to him because he is there at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for his people to come to him. See him, be encouraged by that sight. Find strength in both the sight of him and in reflecting on what he's done. See him and see what pleases him. As you step out in the walk of your life, what is it that brings a smile to his face, you might say? And let that be what pleases you. A preventative to being ensnared by sin. And when you look at him, you can't help but see what it cost him. That you can have a hope that you would not have otherwise. How can we take these sins so lightly? How can we allow them to ensnare us so easily? When he has done what he's done. When he's taken sin upon him, upon the cross. Let's look to him as the great enabling for setting aside the weights, the sin that so easily ensnares us, and to enable us to persevere. It is an endurance race. I've always found them the hardest, most painful. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you've come to the place of looking for new ventures after the summer, maybe just marginally different, maybe in a larger way. Maybe it's a time when you've been able to catch up with stuff. Maybe a time when you've been able to even catch up with some reflection on what's ahead in life. Make this part of it to ensure that what goes on ahead of you, of where you are going in the days ahead, that these things will not ensnare you. Pray that they will not ensnare me as easily as they have done. May God bless his word among us together this evening.